Thank you for listening to or watching another episode of SNTR Presents. This is going to be a question and answer session that follow my talk about Anthem still lacks loot drops. Just not enough loot in the game even after an update where it was supposed to get significantly better. If you're listening to this on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or watching on YouTube, you can always catch me live, twitch.tv/SayNoToRage. I'm probably live right now. So come on in and click the follow button if I'm not live to catch my streams another time. And if you're watching on YouTube, hit the like button and the subscribe button. That's an easy way to support what I do. Let's just jump right into the questions. And those aren't the questions. Let me pull up the questions. There we go. I had the wrong thing pulled up. Fleming32, I heard from somewhere else that Anthem isn't a BioWare type of game that they normally make. Do you agree? Well, it's certainly not something that they've made before. No, they primarily do like narrative-driven, dialogue-driven solo games, solo player games. So this was a branch out from their typical format. And I applaud them in trying something new. And I actually found the storytelling narrative and the interactions with the NPCs to be good. But again, I wasn't looking for Mass Effect 9. I was looking for Anthem, a loot-based game. I wasn't looking for this idea of, oh, it needs to be like Mass Effect while having loot to chase. I couldn't fathom playing a game with the depth of the storytelling of Mass Effect while also being a loot pursuit game of service. And so because I wasn't expecting that, I enjoyed the story a lot, actually, but it was a departure from Dragon Age and Mass Effect style of games. So this is the only discussion Anthem stream I can be in. You always look at the game as a whole, the good, the bad, unlike dev streamers that will slander me because I play on PS4. That doesn't make any sense. The devs wouldn't do that. What are you talking about? Brock Kelly, are there any updates coming to the loot that we know of beyond what we just got? This is step one. There's other things coming. So again, I don't think they're done. If you want me to speculate, I'll speculate. I think they've got a handful of bumps they're doing. I think they're bumping it, and then they're going to collect data, and then they're going to bump it again, and then they're going to collect data. That's what I think they're going to be doing. So hopefully in a week or two, we're at a place where the drops are exactly where we want them. We feel like we can put in an hour or two and get enough Masterworks to find something to add to the build to really make things better. But if they don't turn on the faucet, it just isn't going to matter. And my biggest and most lingering concern right now is they're going to leave things roughly where they are with respect to drops, and they're just going to make inscriptions better. They're going to lower the floor. I'm sorry, they're going to raise the floor on inscriptions. Well, the lowest percentage inscription you can now get will be like 75. We got rid of this one, and this one, because these ones aren't that helpful. If they go that route to where pretty much every time you get a drop, it's a pretty good roll, I don't think that's the right course of action either. I think you turn the faucet on, and there's a large spectrum between a bad roll and a god roll. That's exciting. A god roll is way more exciting when you know just how bad the rolls can be, and bad rolls are a part of the wood chipper. If you're just pouring loot on us, you're just like, nope, bad, nope, bad, nope, bad. I just, at this point, I think the inscriptions are fine. They got rid of the ones that made no sense. The spectrum is good. Turn the faucet on and just let me come back and get buried in Masterworks. Now, I will say this. I guess they wouldn't have to get rid of this, but they'd have to make it apparent that you can skip that scene where, like, all the Masterworks are popping up. Because if somebody doesn't realize or, like, looks down in the corner, watching that 20 times would be a bit much after a Heart of Rage. They might want to really strongly encourage you to skip that, so. The Kakita says, how has Anthem improved since week one? I played the alpha and the demo opening week and felt dissatisfied the entire time. Is it worth getting back to? I don't know what you found dissatisfying. I think getting 4 javelins to Masterwork is really enjoyable. I think the content loop is really satisfying. I actually think if they can nail a couple of patches here and really turn the ship around, I think a lot of people that went to Division out of sheer boredom, I think they'll come back. I think Division 2 is a phenomenal game. They're getting the loot system right. They really are. But I also think the gameplay in Division leaves a lot to be desired for. And I think people that really got captured by Anthem's gameplay will quickly abandon ship if they feel like they can come into Anthem and have a rewarding experience. The main thing that Division's being praised for is the loot and the respect of the player's time. Nobody's coming out of their skin because of the gameplay in Division. It's very much a basic game. I've been saying that it's like a really well-built truck. It's utilitarian and mechanically strong, but it's still a utilitarian vehicle. Anthem could be the sports car with a much flashier and better interior, but they need to do that. They need to make the interior of the car significantly better. Right now, it's a flashy sports car, but you get inside and it's all just like junky factory interior, like there's nothing in here. And I think that's the parallel I've been trying to make, is that Division 2 is like a built-to-last, really strong truck, but it's very utilitarian. It's a mechanically, you know, cover-based shooter. It doesn't deliver. I also have made the parallel, my wife and I will watch America's Got Talent, and a magician or a musician will come on that is technically amazingly gifted, but they have no showmanship. That's what Division is. It is technically very strong and built-to-last, but there's no showmanship. There's no razzmatazz, there's no boom, there's no pow. Anthem and Destiny have the boom and the pow, but they really have to invest in that, the technical depth. They really do, because if they don't, you're always going to get in the sports car and be like, I mean, it's fun to drive around for a little bit, but there's just nothing in here. You know, it's fun to fly around and be Iron Man for a little bit, but there's just nothing in here. Bubble 76. Why run Grandmaster 3 when you can run Grandmaster 2 a couple of times and have the same end result of loot drops? Well, Grandmaster 3 needs to become the legendary farm. It needs to become the legendary farm. You should be boosting up in Grandmaster 2 to go into Grandmaster 3, and Grandmaster 3 should be where you go for legendaries. That's the whole point. It's just, right now, again, I don't think they have the drop rate where it needs to be with respect to both Masterworks and legendaries. But if they can come up with a system that works in Grandmaster 1, you have your template for Grandmaster 2 and Grandmaster 3. Like, all of them should have their own sort of template drop rates so that you just keep turning it up as you scale. They could do that for 4, 5, and 6 if they decide to do more Grandmasters. Just keep scaling it. Just keep taking the elasticity out, you know? Truck driving is an awesome experience, though. You're not understanding the metaphor. I'm saying that when you look at a truck, it's clearly like a boxy, it's a utilitarian vehicle. It's a truck. It's not a showy, flashy sports car. You're not understanding the analogy. I'm not saying the experience of driving it. I'm talking about the actual vehicle itself. Teddy here. After playing Division 2 over the weekend, I've been swayed to the make it rain theory. I'm always adjusting my gear because nearly every loot run I find something with different or better roles. What can you do to open BioWare's eyes to this? I think BioWare's on that road. I just think they're being careful. I think BioWare knows that we're right. I don't think they're ever going to sit down on a stream and be like, we just can't take the drop rates that high with the current way that inscriptions work and the current spectrum of drop rates and differences between the inscriptions. I just don't think you're ever going to be able to make a solid case. The people that try to say it's fine, they just bang on one drum. I'm getting stuff and having fun. Okay, make an argument, though. I'm not asking you if you're having fun. Are you min-maxing? Well, no. Do you have a completely masterwork javelin? Well, no. Well, once you do, how often are you getting gear that increases your loadout? Well, I mean, I'm not, but I'm having fun. How much fun can you have? Listen, the entire hinge of a game as service game, it hinges upon being rewarding. Why? Because why else are you going to rerun the same content over and over and over again? Why? Why would you do that? Why would you rerun Destiny content, Anthem content, Division's combat's basically the same thing everywhere you go, but why are you willing to do that in Division? Because of the loot. You can do it. You see the things drop, and you're like, ooh, more loot. I want to do that again. You will put up with mundane, repetitious, relatively satisfying content over and over and over again if there's a bright, shiny thing consistently triggering your brain. Saying because it's fun is just such a thin... Are you really going to run Heart of Rage like 10 times on a Friday just because it's fun? Like, give me a break. Nobody plays games that way. They don't. The repetition is built upon an expectation of reward. That's the entire reason why you're repeating it. Think about it. The repetition is literally linked to the loot incentive. No one reruns a mission hundreds of times. If that were true, then no one would ever stop playing games like God of War. Why? It's immaculate. It's a work of art. It's beautiful. But it's kind of like, well, why would I rerun it? You might rerun it a couple of times. Maybe there's a Game Plus experience. Maybe you could try different builds. But, like, you're not going to just keep rerunning missions in God of War 5, 6, 7, 8 times. Why? Because it's not a loot-driven game the way that these are. The primary player bases that come to these games, the repetition is built upon the expectation of reward. It's the whole reason you're willing to rerun the game. Nobody played Borderlands 2 a second time through just because they felt like it. They did it because they knew the loot would change and they would get more loot and they'd get more skill points for their tree and stuff. They would feel a sense of advancement. A Son of God 95, although the loot rate has been increased, do you think that's useless because the loot is so below average? No, this assertion's false. The loot's not below average. Watch some of the build talks, watch some of the abilities people use. Like, just not even remotely true. The loot's actually really great once you get into Masterworks. Photos. Hilo, no, content's awesome, but I totally agree with you. I definitely think that the Masterworks need to be dropping more regularly. It's a step in the right direction. Do you think they will summon the loot again? Somebody asked me the other day. They were like, do you think that you should get a masterwork every time you shoot something? And I was like, pretty darn near close to that. Yep, I do. Why? Because that's literally the only thing of value to me. It's the only thing of value to me. So if you go into Destiny and you end a play session and the only thing you got that entire play session was a bunch of blues and greens, that would be really confusing because there's nothing of value to you. There's nothing of value to you. Why are you playing? You're not getting anything of value to you. The game has to communicate a currency exchange, some level of currency exchange. Now I'm using currency loosely here, right? The loot is a currency. It's a form of incentive. If the game doesn't communicate to you that, hey, when you come back here, we're going to feed you the things that you need for this part of the game. Imagine going into any game and being like, I need X to progress, and you just can't ever get it to drop. Eventually, the game breaks down for you because progression doesn't happen. And in a min-maxing game, progression is marginal. If you get a really good drop, it's not like the game is suddenly over. Hey, I got a really good drop on this thing. I'm done. I'm too strong for all the content now. No, you're crafting a build. It is by nature a slow process just because of the sheer amount of combinations that could lead to what you consider the absolute best possible role. So it just doesn't work if you're not getting the actual currency exchange that's fitting for that stage of the game. Edward Stockwell. I love looter shooters, but I don't have a ton of time to devote to them, so I normally need to pick one, and even then I can't know left game. Of Anthem, Division 2, or Destiny 2, which game would you recommend, respecting my time most? Well, if you can't know life the game, I think Division 2 respects your time, but if you can't play a whole lot, you're going to struggle to get to the best part of the game, which is the end game. But you'll probably enjoy yourself. The early game of Division is great. You can still craft builds. But even then, I felt like crafting builds kind of started to fall apart once I got into the level 20s because the enemies were hitting so hard, I just needed to dump everything into armor. I wasn't in the world tiers and the crafting of my build and the hunting for specific perks yet. If you're going to play very casually, I think Anthem actually has a ton of content. I think you could go either way. If you go into Division 2, you need to understand what you're signing up for. Division 2 is going to take you a long time to progress if you're piecemealing it. If you're playing very casually, you're not going to feel a large sense of progression in Division 2. So it respecting your time may short circuit a bit if you're only playing for a few hours. If you're only playing for a few hours a week, Anthem's going to take you a really, really long time before you get all your javelins up into the Masterwork spectrum. And the campaign's going to take you a while in general in Anthem, and I think the campaign's really enjoyable. So I don't know. You could go either way as a casual player, to be honest. I think what people are missing, and I can't make this preface every time, a lot of what I'm talking about in Anthem doesn't even touch down on people who play casually. It just doesn't. It's like somebody in chat saying it's about 40 hours for Masterwork in Anthem. Yeah, but that's what? Is that one javelin? I mean, you make all of them. I don't know. It could go either way. It could go either way. I think you could definitely go with either game. Just know that in Anthem, there's a wall currently. When you get into the Masterworks, and you have all, if you make all your javelins and get them all Masterworked out, if they haven't addressed the drop rates, you're going to hit a little bit of a wall. In Division, you're going to feel like your time's more respected because loot's always falling, but you're also going to struggle, I think, to feel a sense of progression in Division if you're playing very, very infrequently. Grantia 623. How do you feel about legendaries dropping for a different javelin than the one you are currently grinding on? I mean, if they can figure out the drop rate, I don't care, but when it's a really low drop rate, yeah, that's pretty frustrating. Spot pause. Do you think it's within the mindset and or capability to release as many armor sets as they can to allow play with javelin appearances while they continue on the loot drops on the roadmap? Maybe even rotate a couple armor sets? No, that's just not going to satisfy anybody. That isn't. That's not going to satisfy anybody. Do you think I'm booting up Anthem to play because they had some cosmetics? I don't care about that. I want to get the loot. I want to make my guy stronger. DEFCON 6. What about Masterwork Embers being used to make Masterwork consumable sigils to help the players scale to the next difficulty? No. This is not an answer. This is a punt. Like, I'm just going to continue to rail and hit the one string banjo of pour the loot on the player and let them find the stuff that they think is going to make their gear better. It's that simple. If you start creating transactions for power, that's just so neutered and boring. You're just going to basically just find really, really good I'm going to find a really, really good route for Masterwork Embers, and then what are you going to do? I mean, you're basically saying to scale up to the next difficulty for consumable sigils, but you're not actually building then. You're just crafting something to make yourself stronger that's temporary. That's not it. That ain't it. To do the meme, right? That ain't it. Joey Asaurus. Hey Rage, I've been out of the loop a little bit with Anthem news since Division dropped. How have the devs responded to the community regarding the distaste for drop rates? Well, we got a drop rate buff, and before we got a drop rate buff, we got a tweet from Chad Robertson that said, "We appreciate all the feedback from the community on the game. We love the passion and share it. We are not yet happy with the game's loot behavior either. One of the downsides of moving so fast to improve what we've been making changes to complex loot systems in several areas, it is then harder to know how it's performing. In the next few months, we're expecting to make significant changes. We're also starting with some incremental ones so we can better navigate that evolution. Our goal is to ensure the best possible player experience." So this is one of those incremental changes. Okay, so that's the head of live service. That's who that is. So for me, this is an incremental thing. So do a couple more. And I think they want to make sure they don't break future content. If they do too many changes now, stuff that wasn't structured for that drop rate is going to come into the game as like a free roadmap piece of content, and it could be a complete and utter disaster because they make too many changes and they don't really check. They're checking and being careful. So they need to do about 3 or 4 more loot drop upgrades to the point that I want to come back from a Heart of Rage with a guaranteed legendary from the boss and about 20 to 25 Masterworks. I think that's totally fair. A Masterwork a minute is totally fair, given the content. Now, a Masterwork a minute in free play? No, probably not. 25 minutes of free play should not be yielding you 25 Masterworks. Maybe half that. 10. Again, don't get caught up on the quality of the item. You're like, oh, it's a Masterwork. No, don't get caught up on that. I'm hunting for inscriptions. The Masterworks don't matter. The color of the item doesn't matter. A really quick way they could educate people about the real true value in this game is they could have inscriptions that change color, like the higher the percentage. Because if you get a masterwork and all the inscriptions are gray, but then you get another one where all the inscriptions are green, then all the inscriptions are blue, or some are blue and there's a purple, you would start to slowly realize, man, a lot of the masterworks I'm getting are trash. Like, I got four in a row where all of the inscriptions were gray and green. Like, passively educate the player that the quality of the masterwork is not in the fact that it's a masterwork. It's in the inscriptions itself. So if I was BioWare, I would do that immediately. I would go in and say, you know, anything below 25% is gray. Anything above 25% to 50% is green. 50 to 75 is blue. 75 to 100% is purple. Anything above 100% is like the color of the masterwork. Because then you look at the inscriptions and the player immediately gets it. They're like, oh, that's why I need so many masterworks. Dude, I just got five and they're all bad. They're all bad. And that would be a great way for them to realize, like, oh, well, of course I need a lot. You know? Of course. I just got 20 today and only one of them had inscriptions that were like blue and purple. That's a free idea. Take it. I think that'd be a better way of educating the player base about what the true grind is. Coatrane, I know you are a Colossus and Ranger fan, and I noticed you started building your Storm as well. I started with the Ranger and went to Colossus myself, and I can't move away from the beef and the raw power. I did start on my Storm, though, recently, and I almost like it as much as the Colossus. Out of the Colossus and Storm, which do you like playing more? Colossus. Colossus is like my home javelin. He is just a monster. He's fun to play. He looks cool. He sounds cool. I love him. I don't know if that'll ever change. He won me over. He's my first love. When I was at the capture event, everybody was flocking to Interceptor and Storm, and I was like, let me try the big boy. And I fell in love with him. He's great. Mr. Anka Boy. I think the main problem of Anthem is AI enemies. How's the state now? I mean, they don't move. They're all the same. If they change the behavior, Anthem will continue to fail. Oh, if they don't change the behavior. No, I don't think that's the main issue. No. No. Content needs to be repeatable and fun. And if AI is stupid sometimes, I don't think that really kills the fun that much. Right? I don't think it hurts the fun. Also... you have to consider that it could be something that they could look at. My theory is that there's a lot of stunning going on. Lots of stunning. And I think what happens is when they get stunned, it sort of breaks their attack patterns. Like, they don't know what to do after they come out of being stunned. I freeze guys sometimes, and they are wrecking me, and then I freeze them. And then they unfreeze. And nothing. They just kind of stand there. It's like they get stunned and it just breaks their programming. So that's something that BioWare could look at. Like, I think one of the main reasons AI breaks down is because you stun them. You melee them, you knock them out of the sky, or you freeze them, and they're like, oh, I don't know what to do now. I'm just gonna stand here. It's like they get reset and they just sort of chill. It's almost like they have a very basic spawn, pathfind, attack. Right? And then you stun them, and if they can't do it in that order again, they just are like, huh? And they just kind of sit there. I'm getting shot in the head. What am I supposed to do next? Because it's like spawn, pathfind, attack. And if they don't do things in that order, it's like they don't reinitiate aggro and attack patterns. They just stand there and wait for you to kill them. Not all the time, but some of the time that happens, and you're like, this guy's a freaking idiot. He's just letting me shoot him in the face. Gata says, you mentioned that getting masterwork you want is a 1 in 52, and getting a good inscription beyond that even lower. Do you think using masterwork embers to reroll inscriptions would help? No. The minute you deviate from loot drop being the main source of you getting a good roll, you will hurt this game even further than it already is hurt. The minute you turn it into a transaction of reroll and crafting the best gear and farming for embers, you're going to murder the game even more than it already has been hurt. It needs to be from the loot drop. you want people to be out in the world running content and getting drops. If that's what you want people to do, it needs to be a rewarding experience while they're doing that instead of a transaction of time. We've talked about this before. A good mix of player agency and RNG is very addicting. Enough player agency to know I go here to do these things, to get these things. RNG makes it so I don't always get exactly what I want. If there's too much player agency, then it's a transaction of time. You're punching a time card. You know, chunk, chunk. Yeah, dude. Played for about 2 hours, got a bunch of embers. I'm going to use those to, like, craft the perfect gun. That's just, like... that's literally a transaction of time. Too much agency leads to boredom, and it's like, it's just pure mechanical. Too much RNG, and it feels completely futile. I'm never going to get the thing that I want. A happy medium is the melding of the two. Love the show. Thank you, Big Pauly D. Alf, don't you think that making legendaries the same as Masterworks with the addition of a higher power cap is a design flaw? Not necessarily, no, because legendaries are not the same as Masterworks. Legendaries have better inscriptions and are stronger. They're significantly stronger. I don't think so. The Kraz. With the understanding of how BioWare did scaling of certain things, melee and ult, friends scaling up and down with their friends, do you think they got rid of equipping on the fly because it would slow the overall feel of the game, or simply because there wasn't a great way to have the world scale on the fly? I mean, you added another reason I hadn't even considered. I think mainly it was because of the loot gazing and the slowing things down. My gosh, dude, watch people play Division. Watch me play Division. I finish an area and I'm looking at my loot. I'm like, okay, I got this, got this, got this, got this. And I look and all my buddies are gone. Like, they're like, nah, let's just go. And I'm like, that's not fun. I want to come over to loot and change my build. I am a loot gazer. I'm a naval gazing loot swapping idiot in Division because there's so much. And in this game where you're getting match made, you don't want to, like, charge ahead to go to the next area and you're like, oh, hang on, you know, Buckets McGee and Raccoon Slayer are back here just sitting still. I guess I'll just wait for them to get up here. Like, all right, come on, you know. And then maybe they leave because they're like, got what I want, peace. And then they leave, especially if they start turning on the loot faucet. You don't want people to be able to do that. You're adding another element, though, too, is it would mess up the scaling. You could literally go into an encounter and intentionally nerf yourself with a bunch of crap gear, get in the encounter, and then put all the good gear on and mess the scaling up and make everything really, really easy, you know? RNGNK Phoenix says, do you think the current drop rate would be good if they made activities give either a higher drop chance for a certain set of loot, or if they made the stronghold have its own loot pool? There's too many things, Phoenix. There, like I said, on one particular javelin, there's 52 potential things that can drop Masterwork. 27 weapons, 10 abilities, 10 mod components, and a partridge and a pear tree. You know, like 5 universals. There's way too many. You couldn't make enough content to give us specific farming routes, and you don't want us to. Think about what happens when you give specific loot pools, okay? Think about what's going to happen. Once you get the thing that you want from that particular loot pool, that content then becomes irrelevant to you. You're like, well, I got the mod components that I want. Anything related to mod components, irrelevant. Any mission, any whatever, completely irrelevant once you get the thing that you need. So it makes much more sense to just turn the loot faucet on and you can go wherever you want. And if you go into more challenging content, that loot faucet is higher. You don't want to invalidate content as people progress. Well, I got guns now, and X, Y, and Z are a source for guns. I guess that content's irrelevant to me now. I don't think that's a good choice. One of the value points of Anthem is, oh, my buddies aren't around. I don't feel like trying to do a Heart of Rage matchmaking. I don't feel like doing legendary contracts with randos. I'm just going to grind free play for a little bit. I know I'll get Masterworks and Legendaries at a decent clip, and that'll help me. I might get something. I got my feet propped. I'm relaxing. I'm playing, and I'm getting stuff. Instead of like, well, this content's irrelevant to me now because it only drops X, Y, and Z loot. You have to be very, very careful with loot. That there's this much of it to have anything that's specific and stuff that is dropping. Midnight Tangent Ryan, do you think the lack of willingness from BioWare to communicate their plans for the few months is due to the fact that it has involved microtransactions and they don't want to further upset the player base? No, this is presumptive and silly. No, that has nothing to do with it. They don't listen. Developers don't want to accidentally promise stuff. yeah, guys, we're really looking at turning the loot drop rates up over the next couple of weeks. It should be getting to like 100% increase. And then maybe they find out they can't do that. And everybody gets mad because they didn't give us what they said they were going to give us to. And there's way more to do with that. Midnight Tangent Ryan, what do you think would be a better fix for Stronghold loot? Having all the chests drop after the main boss, or having the boss drop 2 to 3 times as much as loot now? Guaranteed Legendary would fix it. Now, you got to look at Heart of Rage and I'm sorry, you got to look at Tyrant Mine and Temple of Scar. Because those bosses are really easy. Really easy. I would say Temple of Scar, you could do... you could probably do a guaranteed Legendary in Temple of Scar, because most people don't know about the skipping, or maybe make it so you can't skip it, so it's like a little bit slower. Right now you can skip so much of Temple of Scar, they need to fix that, because then nobody would run Heart of Rage, right? People would run Heart of Rage because he's got 3 phases, every phase would drop a junk ton of Masterworks, and then you would get the guaranteed Legendary. Every time he drops Masterworks, there'd be a chance of Legendaries as well. Tyrant Mine would be the biggest potential hang-up of a guaranteed Legendary. People would just run that over and over and over again, because that's like the fastest if you're not skipping sections. You can skip sections in Temple of Scar and make that faster than Tyrant Mine. Again, the issue is figuring out ways to incentivize player behavior and not restrict it. Maybe it just staggers up. A guaranteed Legendary from Tyrant Mine, a guaranteed Legendary from Temple of Scar, and if you make it so we can't skip large sections, then maybe 2 drops from Temple of Scar, and then 3 from Heart of Rage. Each one of its checkpoints drops a Legendary. I don't know. I think the danger is you're going to get to the point where we're skipping the Masterwork grind. But again, keep in mind, even when the Legendaries drop, it's a 1 in 52 chance you get an item that you want, and then there's 62 some inscriptions. So even if Legendaries are dropping, you know, you're getting 20 something Masterworks, and then, you know, 2 or 3 Legendaries. Those 2 or 3 Legendaries are probably going to be a lot of things just getting dismantled, because they're not going to have the roles that you want. You know, you're still going to be in a pretty narrow pool. Cotrain, personally, I enjoy that Anthem is completely match-made game. It's fun, in my opinion, to find randoms and sometimes even make friends out of those randoms. But the only issue I have is no sort of filter for matchmaking. There can be a stronghold where 4 Colossus are the starting point, or 3 Colossus and a Ranger. Do you think that BioWare should put a filter on random matchmaking so that something like that doesn't happen? I would say that the real issue is that if you fragment the player base, you're going to make matchmaking take longer. Which do you want to deal with? Matchmaking getting its length of time, like, doubled? Or periodically playing, like, a stronghold with a bunch of, Colossus? Do you really need to not have that? I mean, Colossus is pretty good. A bunch of Storms might struggle. A bunch of Interceptors might struggle. I don't know. Just depending on, you know, Grandmaster 2 and how good their builds are. I just think there's a real danger in fragmenting the player base according to the javelins that they're in, and then you make the matchmaking take longer, and it's just kind of like, is that really going to have a huge influence? You know? Z Prima, do you think that family and friends testing of games works? Wouldn't they notice this thing first, like the loading screens, the loot drops? Also, just FYI, Dev Director is having a talk tomorrow at GDC. How they were behind schedule and they had to change development process in order to catch up to be on schedule for Anthem. Well, that'll probably be a really interesting talk, because I've continued to say that the devil is the deadline. I think the devil is the deadline. I think both Destiny 2 and Anthem are proof that a deadline that you're not prepared for really, really hurts your game. And listen, internal testing won't always necessarily catch some of the things we're talking about. I mean, you kind of are answering your own question, aren't you? If they're giving a presentation at the GDC on how they were behind schedule and they had to change development process in order to catch up, well, then that means that potentially the loading screens and the loot drops were not front burner issues. Front burner issues were probably, does stuff work? I mean, they had a lot of patches quickly loaded into the hopper, almost like they were already working on them. infinite load screen, long load screens, audio bugs, crashes, all this stuff. Some of those patched items, I think they had to have been working on those prior to community feedback. Like, they just knew that they had to figure out how to make those things better. And they were already kind of, you know, they already had them loaded into the hopper and ready to go. Like, all right, drop and deploy those patches. So I don't necessarily think they were, like, internally testing and, like, some guy named Steve just, like, neglected to tell them that the loot, you know, the loot wasn't good, or load screens were long, or there was an infinite loading screen. I don't even, like, they weren't aware of these things. I think they knew. I just think, again, when games, I mean, as you said in this talk, they're going to be talking about how they got behind schedule, and I think that really starts to hurt your delivery. Escagata says, if the drop rates were adjusted to make Masterworks drop at like 200 per hour, do you think that would make drops feel like Blues and Destiny? Like, you'll be dismantling so often that it isn't exciting anymore. See, but again, you're looking for a god roll. You're looking for, and this is why I think color coding the inscriptions would help. Like, you're not combing over them and saying, like, well, now it's all boring because we're getting too many. You'd be combing over them to say, where is the absolute best role? And the real reason that needs to happen is because that's the style of game that they built. If you want Masterworks to be exciting, then you'd have to go back and completely rewrite the game. You'd have to make it so where a Masterwork drops and basically has a guaranteed god roll, and it's you know, and then that's what you're actually chasing. And then when it finally drops, you're done chasing Elemental Rage. You got it with the god roll, because that's like almost like the only way that it drops. They'd have to change the entire way the game is structured. The game is structured in such a way as to that you're looking for a really, really good inscription, and that, again, is where I think a lot of people are getting hung up on, well, I'm getting a lot of Masterworks, what's the problem? If the game was communicating to them that most of those Masterworks were trash with a color coding system in the inscriptions, people might be more inclined to understand, like, yeah, I think Lono's right. I did get 7 Masterworks, but I dismantled all of them. They all had low inscriptions. They all were ranked really, really low. You could maybe even put an inscription grade, you know, it averages and it says, okay, there are 2 blues and 2 purples on this item, so its inscription grade is like a C, you know. That might be too much, but I think the color coding would at least be a place to start so people understood what's good, what's bad, like what's scoring really, like, way, way low on the radar. Blue Crosser says, should Colossus be able to use shoulder weapons while keeping its shield up? I mean, I can keep my shield up and do lightning coil. I don't know about voltaic tome. I think I can do voltaic tome and do... Yeah, I actually can. I don't know about ones that launch. Like, if you're launching like a the mortar and stuff. Nope, you can't. I know for a fact I was using the lightning coil while having my shield up. I remember doing it. I remember doing that. Unless they changed it, you can, but you have to drop it first. I just want a beastly legendary Colossus with multiple builds. Right now, that's impossible. That's really what I try to drive home. Lightning coil can, but I don't think you can with voltaic. Okay, because lightning coil is not the same as voltaic, so that makes sense, I guess. You can have lightning coil along with shield up, but you can't activate it with shield up. Oh, that's right, because you activate lightning coil and it's just passive. You're not holding it down like voltaic. That makes sense why you can't. Okay, I understand now. Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, I don't know. They could look at it and see if they feel like that's within the design philosophy of the Colossus to hold the shield up and to be using shoulder guns. Yeah, because you have to hold the button down for voltaic. So, guys, if you're enjoying this content and you're liking the back and forth in Q&A, I really hope they can improve this game because we do these all the time. Click the follow button on my stream. That's the little heart button. That enables you to be following the stream to not miss out on content. So that's a free and easy way to support what I do. Try to have these back and forth with you as often as we can. Basically, been answering questions about the game lacking loot drops. They did an update. I still don't think it's enough. My main argument is that it is a very, very low chance. It's a 1 in 52 chance to get the masterwork you're looking for. Then beyond that, it's a very, very broad spectrum of inscriptions, 60-something inscriptions with a spectrum of percentages. I think they could do a couple of things to educate the player base about this. I suggested using color coding. So like really, really low percentage inscriptions would be like a gray or a green and then blue and purple. The farther up the inscription goes with its power, the higher its color rank. So people could very, very easily see that a lot of the masterworks they're getting that they're so excited about are actually low in quality. Thank you for the 100 bits. Mr. Decimus, thank you. And then when you would start to kind of ramp up into the legendaries, the exact same thing would happen. So ultimately, that's my suggestion, is turn the faucet on and also maybe try and do something a little bit to educate the player base about the quality of the inscriptions so they don't get so hung up on the fact that they're getting masterworks and they think that's good enough. Because eventually, I think people, if you're not educating them about min-maxing with colors on the inscriptions, I think a lot of people are just going to be like, well, I got a bunch of masterworks. All my guys are masterwork now. Now what do I do? Because you didn't really educate them about min-maxing. Joey Asaurus, thank you so much for the brand new sub. Welcome. So that's my main feedback. And we got GG, it was me, Smile says, how can Anthem compete with such clean launch as The Division 2? This is something I think people need to remember. The Division 2 is the result of what you would probably call a failed launch, Division 1. Division 1 did poorly, wasn't received well, was hotly criticized. Its endgame was glitchy and buggy and exploited. Its end game was not enjoyed. People didn't like it. It was similar to Anthem. You played through Division 1, and you got to Division's end game, and people just jumped out of the pool. They were like, this is boring. I don't like it. And Division spent a lot of their time tweaking the game, patching the game, listening to the community, and then Division 1.8 came out, and people loved that game. People loved Division with 1.8. And that was essentially... And that was essentially the beta test for Division 2. Anthem is in a similar situation. I think Anthem has a better content loop than Division 1. Division 1 had two things working against it. Its content loop was pretty bland because it's just cover-based shooting, nothing elaborate going on, and it wasn't very rewarding, and the content was really grinding and punishing. You were getting hit by multiple ends. Anthem has a really satisfying content loop. It has a unique experience with respect to the combat and all four javelins. And honestly, the loot pursuit's not bad until you hit that masterwork wall. So I feel like they have a better foundation to build on than Division did. And I feel like in the theater of loot pursuit games, Anthem stands to be one that can kind of bounce back, because I think when the content loop is enjoyable, people will come flocking back if you start to hit the right reward and loot incentive structures. I think Destiny 1 and 2 with their DLCs that can help the game bounce back, Division 1.8, No Man's Sky, Diablo, these are all games that when they fix their game and really delivered something that people liked, the games do well and bounce back and people really enjoy them. So I think there's hope. Do you think upping the drop rates more would break the crafting economy? It would only break the crafting economy if they don't make proper adjustments. If you're going to give me 20 masterworks instead of 7 from a Heart of Rage run on Grandmaster 2, well, then you just have to give me less embers when I break them down. Or make it a chance to get embers. Or increase the cost for crafting. Something like that. I don't think you necessarily have to just leave everything as is and be like, oh, whoops, we showered you with all these masterworks, and now as you break them down, you have more embers than you know what to do with. You can craft too easily. They would have to make adjustments there as well. Again, this is one of the reasons why they're not just cranking the drop rate and being like, have a ball, have fun, And then all of a sudden we realize it creates 18 other problems. They're being careful, measured, and they're gathering data more than likely. They boost the number, people play, people get stuff, and then they're like, all right, collect information. You know? We need more embers though, so why not let embers go up? Yeah, again, they want to make sure it's their smart changes. Blagadoo, do you think games have trained players to just care about the color of the item rather than its usefulness? I think that's a lot of what's going on here. I think people see the masterwork colors and the legendary colors and they're like, ooh, pretty, I'm getting rewarded and that's all that matters. And they don't understand that most of what they're getting is not good. It's just garbage. MXYK, what is min-maxing? What makes Anthem a min-max game compared to something like Destiny 2? At its base level, min-maxing is if you were to play like a classic RPG and you have health, strength, and stamina. You have your three stats and they give you 10 points to distribute. You can put everything in health and strength, but you're going to run out of stamina. You're just a big fat tank. You can take a lot of hits and you can hit really hard, but you have no stamina. You could do a ton of stamina and a ton of health, so now you can live longer and swing longer, but you're not going to hit very hard. That's essentially the most base level min-maxing you could understand. You're minimizing certain stats to maximize others, and that creates a playstyle. So when you have health, strength, and stamina, and only so many points to spend in health, strength, and stamina, that's base level min-maxing. So in Anthem, maybe you're trying to get a ton of elemental damage or weapon damage or whatever your build's going for, and you're grinding for abilities that have those things. That's you trying to maximize those inscriptions and those perks while probably ignoring other ones like impact damage and physical damage or whatever it is that you're ignoring. Midnight Tangent, do you think if Anthem announced upcoming content like a raid, people would feel more comfortable grinding as they would have something to work towards? No, I don't think so. I think the core issue is that you just feel no motivation to put in the hours required to even get something to move the needle. I could boot up right now and play 2 hours, and I don't have any confidence in getting anything to move the needle. So even if they, we got a raid coming, I think you might get hardcore players be like, we want to be some of the best and strongest to get in there on that raid, and you'd probably have people... you'd probably have people doing it, but I think by and large, the community is making it very, very clear what they want. They want the loot faucet just turned on. Because if they don't do that, I think we're always going to be here having this discussion saying the same thing. Man, I would love to make my build a little bit stronger. I would love to maximize how strong I am, but I just can't do it. And I know people are going to say, yeah, but the scaling's not working right and the min-maxing's not working right because a lot of the abilities you can get don't even actually make you any stronger because it's additive and needs to be multiplication. Again, they can change that down the road. Right now, I would just really focus on being generous. Really focus on being generous. Again, if you're enjoying this content, thank you for tuning in. I know a lot of you might be new to my content. A lot of times I'd have gameplay going on right here while I'm answering your questions. But right now, it's easier just to sit on the title screen because the game just isn't rewarding enough, in my opinion, to really grind it. If you want to support the stream, a free way to do that is by clicking the follow button. That is the little heart button. That's a free and easy way to support what I do. I'm going to be doing a talk in Division 2 in just a little bit. We already did one on Destiny. We do the talk. We take your questions. It's a really good time. It's like an interactive radio show that you're a part of. And if you're listening to this on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or watching on YouTube, you can always come in and catch me live. I'm live right now, probably. That's typically when I have the feeds. twitch.tv/sayno2rage is how to find me, or follow me on Twitter @sayno2rage. If you're live right now, if you're here watching live, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to do a little outro for the podcast so I can chop this and export this later. So don't go anywhere if you're here watching live. As always, if you're watching and listening in the other locations, please like, share, and subscribe.